Shalom and Yeshua. This is Rabbeen Dr. Deborah Brandt, and we're continuing our series on spiritual warfare, how to intercede and prepare the way to minister to people. This is part two. So we're looking at the ultimate battlefield. HaSatan is not a creator, but a counterfeiter and a deceiver and a liar. Only Yahweh Elohim is the creator, and we see that in Genesis 1 to 2. Yahweh Elohim, through Yeshua HaMashiach, spoke the creation into existence and created us. And the only thing that the enemy has always tried to do is be a counterfeiter, a liar, and to deceive people. Our battlefield is in the mind. What we see here or meditate on starts in the mind. That's where the enemy is continually attacking us in our thoughts. That's why we're to cast down thoughts and imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the word of Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh Elohim's word is the last say-so in anything that we are setting our faith to. The enemy wants to move your eyes from Yahweh Elohim and place them on your own abilities and shortcomings. That way he can hinder you from rising in warfare with the authority given to you in Messiah Yeshua. Again, he always tries us to doubt our abilities. Any abilities we have are from the Father. We are to minister and pray in his strength according to his word, not lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. Again, looking at, we can't look at self, what we can or cannot do as far as our abilities or our shortcomings. We need to look to him and his anointing and the power of his word and the power of the name of Messiah Yeshua. This is a quote from Renewing the Mind, Dr. Carolyn Leaf. She's a neuroscientist and teaches how awesome the brain is that the Father gave us. And the difference between the mind, which is the spiritual part of us, and the brain. By being obedient to God's instructions, you are empowered to have strength. Therefore, you can direct your memory, your words, and your brain towards his thoughts. That's what the word talks about, renewing our mind with the word of God. All the instructions you receive from God's word have a large positive effect on your brain. Every time you choose God's way, you make the right decisions, and your brain sends the correct signals throughout your body so that God's life is built in you. Your brain is designed to hear and obey God. When you do, you are operating in superpower thinking, in good decision making, and rejoicing despite the circumstances. When you choose God's way, his energy that comes directly from the throne of grace fills your mind and your body. Hebrews 4:16. So let's take a look at that. Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne from which God gives grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. The word grace in the Greek is charis or chairo. Again, we see that same word grace found in the Tanakh as well, the Hebrew, which is chesed. It means grace, particularly that which causes joy, pleasure, gratification, favor, acceptance for a kindness, granted or desired, a benefit, thanks, gratitude. It also means when received by faith, transforms man and causes him to love and to seek after the righteousness of God. Charis is initially regeneration, the work of the Holy Spirit, in which the spiritual life is given to man, by which his nature is brought under the dominion of righteousness, again, God's way of living and walking. The maintenance of this condition requires an unbroken and immense supply of grace. Grace remains constant in and basic to a believer's fight without against HaSatan and his struggle without within against sin. Renewal is stimulated and impelled by God's illuminating and strengthening of the soul, and we will continue to increase as long as the soul perseveres, again, as long as we are seeking after God and his ways. God's grace ensures that those who have been truly regenerated will persevere until the end of life. The entire work is called sanctification, a work of God whereby we are renewed in the whole man, and we are enabled more and more to die daily unto sin and live unto righteousness. Hallelujah. Choosing God brings health, life, longevity, healing, and change. A sound mind is a mind of love and power. We see that in 2 Timothy 1:7. So let's just go there. Let me go to the Tree of Life version. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. Faith comes by hearing, and that's a process. Again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh Elohim. When you hear something, it goes into your short-term memory for 24 to 48 hours. If you continue to think about it for at least 3 days, you have the beginning of a memory. Every day that you think about something, you strengthen that thought until after 21 days, you have built a long-term memory. If you continue to think about it for 42 more days, it becomes a habit. So this is why it's important to meditate upon the word, memorize the word, think about the word every day, and not about the enemy's thoughts and lies, but what the Father says about us. Joshua 1:8, Tree of Life version. This book of the Torah should not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous and then you will succeed. So again, the key, keeping the word in our heart, in our mind, in our speaking, our thoughts. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, chazak, be strong. Do not be terrified or dismayed, for Adonai your God is with you wherever you go. 1 Peter 2:25, for you like sheep were going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So again, the word helps us to be discerning, again, through the gifts of the Ruach, knowing what is the Father's will, and discerning, again, when the enemy is trying to lie to us or get us distracted or get us off the word. James 4:6, this is the Amplified, verses 6 to 8. But he gives us more and more grace through the power of the Ruach HaKodesh to defy sin and live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for our salvation. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud and haughty, but continually gives the gift of grace to the humble who turn away from self-righteousness. So submit to the authority of God, resist the devil or HaSatan, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Come close to God with a contrite heart, and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your unfaithful hearts, you double-minded people. So here we see that we have the authority to resist the... Notice this is something that we need to do. We need to resist those thoughts and cast them down and submit our mind to the thoughts of Yahweh Elohim and his word. Areas we need to submit to Yahweh Elohim. First, we need to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves is to submit ourselves to his word and believe what his word says despite the circumstances. To worship him in spirit and in truth. To resist HaSatan in Yeshua's name. Again, to pull down strongholds in our lives. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful through God for the tearing down of strongholds. We are tearing down false arguments and every high-minded thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Messiah, ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. So here again, this is talking about our warfare, our spiritual warfare. Again, is not according to the flesh, but it is a spiritual warfare. And the Father has given us everything we need to fight that battle with his word and with the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We need to recognize our enemy. We are fighting spirits, not people. Again, though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful through God for the tearing down of strongholds, and we are tearing down false arguments. And that includes the false arguments of HaSatan that he would try to plant in our mind to cause doubt and unbelief in Yahweh. You know, and this includes guarding our hearts and minds regarding false teachings. Again, the internet is a two-edged sword. It's a blessing, but it also can be a curse because there's so many voices shouting at us. We need to be discerning because we listen to the wrong things. It can plant doubt in our lives, plant doubt against the word of God. So we need to be discerning regarding who we listen to and who we receive from and make sure it is in line with the word of Yahweh Elohim. A stronghold is a wall. Warfare is not passive, but active. A wall is made of bricks and cement. Satanic thoughts are the brick. When we agree with those thoughts that are contrary to the word, we cement that wall with our imaginations, building strongholds where in our mind. We need to pull down strongholds of lies, false doctrines, depression, inferiority, etc. I see so many believers, again, fighting that depression, inferiority, mental illness, mental strongholds. Again, this is not God's word for your life. This is false. This is the enemy trying to attack you and keep you away from the fullness of God. And his word has an answer. That's why it's so important. Again, as we meditate on the word, that word has the ability to train and to change the functions of our mind and how it thinks and how it operates. I highly recommend Dr. Carolyn Leaf's teaching on, again, detoxing the brain, renewing our mind, and getting it in line with the word of God. Again, we are to cast down imaginations and walk in discernment. All attacks start in the mind. Our battle is against satanic thoughts versus God's word. Again, his mode of operation has not changed since the very beginning when he used those same tactics on Hava and Adam, and they fell for it. All thoughts that put your attention on your ability are not of Yahweh Elohim. And all thoughts that are opposite the word of Yahweh Elohim are directly from HaSatan. Are these thoughts in line with the word of God? That's what we need to question ourselves. When those thoughts start attacking our mind, you know, sometimes they're HaSatan's thoughts. Sometimes they're just our own thoughts, our own security, our own doubts. Again, we need to bring our thinking in line with the word of God. We also need to ask, did this thought come through the mind or from deep within my spirit? We need to, again, discern, is this thought from God? Again, when the Father speaks to us, he speaks to our spirit and through the word. When the enemy speaks to us, it's always through our mind because he doesn't have access to our spirit. How to take thoughts captive. Say, HaSatan and your demons in the name of Yeshua or Yeshua HaMashiach, I am taking this thought captive and bring it under the obedience of Messiah Yeshua, the Word. We need to pray scripture, pray in our prayer language, which is, again, praying in tongues, spend time in praise and worship, and keep it up until the thought is gone. Again, you may have to do this, you know, for, you know, several weeks or even months, but until it's gone again, that's where the battle is. We don't stop fighting. We don't start, you know, stop the warfare, you know, with one prayer. We keep it going until that thought is taken captive to the word of God. Know your enemy. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Again, the enemy uses people to come against us, just as Yahweh Elohim uses people to minister, to share his word, to be a blessing. Hasatan the counterfeiter uses the same thing, uses people to come against God's people, those that are, again, submissive or yield to the spirit of Hasatan. Again, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. The New American Standard Bible Translation. This is the Amplified. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotism, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Again, there's a sphere out there, an unseen world of, again, number one, our angels, and also demonic spirits. You know, praise God, he has given us his angels to help in that heavenly warfare as we pray the word. And that word rulers is spoken of princes or chiefs among angels. Again, there is a hierarchy in the angel realm, and there is also a hierarchy in the demonic spirit realm. The word powers refers to celestial and infernal powers, princes, potentates, angels, archangels, again, referring to in the spirit realm, the realm of demons and angels. Again, the word forces is cosmocrator. Okay, cosmos, where we get the word for, again, the heavenlies, the heavens. refers to the world, and kratio, to hold. Lord of the world, using the New Testament of Satan as the prince of this world, i.e. of worldly men. Referring to Satan and his angels. Again, this is where they operate in the atmosphere, and they also operate through people. It also, wickedness is the word poneria, and it means evil, malicious, evil nature, badness in a physical sense in the New Testament, only in a moral sense, evil disposition, wickedness, malice. Again, the spirits of malice means the evil spirits, and in the plural, hyponorei, wicked counsels, and also iniquities and wicked deeds. Again, you'll have these notes, so you can look up these scriptures as well. So the word admonishes us to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, Hasatan, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Again, that word devour is vala'a, means to swallow up, to devour, to eat up. 1 Peter 5:8. That's the scripture there. Hasatan dines and thrives on those who live according to the sinful nature, have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the spirit or ruach have their minds set on what the spirit desires. So here we need to set our minds on what the spirit desires, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the spirit is life and peace, or shalom. The sinful mind is hostile to Yahweh. That's why when the enemy bombards our thoughts, it's always against Yahweh's word. It does not submit to Yahweh's Torah, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please Yahweh. Romans 8:5-8. The roaring lion makes us an easy target. again, we have the fleshly walk versus the spiritual walk, a wounded heart versus a healed heart, prayerlessness versus a prayer warrior, not reading the word versus studying the word, weapons rusty from not being used, spiritual weapons that are sharpened, worldliness versus kingdom living. So again, we need to walk in the spirit. These are walking according to the flesh, according to, again, the ways of the world. And this is walking in the ways of the spirit, which we are called to do every day. The roaring lion, what makes us an easy target? Lashon hara, or the evil tongue. Yeah, we need to watch our words and how we speak. The term Hailal ben Shachar Yuleel means shining one, son of the dawn, or howler. Again, Isaiah 14:12, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, that ancient serpent called the devil or HaSatan, or HaSatan who leads the whole world astray, Revelation 12:9, among whom we all once lived, conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, again, before we were born again, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of wrath and heirs of Yahweh's indignation, like the rest of mankind. But he has delivered us. Again, this is the Hebrew found in Isaiah 14:12 regarding HaSatan, referred to as a shining one, son of dawn, or howler. Hey, Lael ben Shachar, you Lal. Now, the works of the evil inclination are strongholds of the Yetzar Hara, the evil inclination, are obvious. You can see them, which are these: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. So again, these are works of the flesh, which are obvious because they manifest in a person's life. You can see that, again, that walk in the flesh, that walk of wickedness. Galatians 5:19-21. Again, we need to know our enemy. He walks in the area of the flesh. He walks in the area of temptation, deception, and speaking to you contrary to the word of Yahweh Elohim. The scriptures indicate that Heilal has many titles, usually coming from various charges Yahweh has made against him. Avadon is referred to as the destroyer. We see that Revelation 9:11. Apollyon, the Greek for destroyer, again, Revelation 9:11. Accuser of the brethren, Sotan Achayenu, adversary of the camp, Revelation 12:10, and also adversary, again, Satan, one who stands against, 1 Peter 5:8. So again, he's a destroyer and an adversary. He comes against Yahweh Elohim's people. He's also referred to as the angel of the bottomless pit, Melech HaTihom, Hebrew of the abyss, the chasm, the bottom, or the gulf, Revelation 9:11, and the spirit of the Antichrist, Satan HaMashiach, Hebrew, the one against Messiah, 1 John 4:3. So he is anti, he is against the word, against Messiah, against God's people. He is the one who, again, those that are lost are kept captive by him. Number one, until we come to faith in Messiah. But if we die without our faith in Messiah, without being born again, we are those that are lost are held captive until the day of judgment. He's also referred to as Beelzebub, or Beel, Beval Zevuv, Lord of Dung Flies, Matthew 12:24, Mark 3:22, and Luke 11:15. Belial, Vileal, he who wears out. Again, he his job is to wear out the saints. 2 Corinthians 6:15. Now I want to look at, let me just pause here a minute. I'm going to go back to the beginning and just look at some of these references here. Okay, Abaddon and Apollyon, Revelation 9:11. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek he has the name Apollyon. And then Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. Again, referred to as the accuser of the brethren. Then 1 Peter 5:8. So be sober of spirit, be on alert, your adversary, HaSatan, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Angel of the bottomless pit. Again, we read that in, let's look at it again, Revelation 9, or verse 11. They have king, a king as king over them, the angel of the, again, abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek, he has the name Apollyon. Again, referred to as the spirit of the anti-Messiah or anti-Christ, 1 John 4:3. And every spirit that does not confess Yeshua is not from God. That is the spirit of the anti-Messiah, of which you have heard that is coming and now is already in the world. So again, that spirit has been operating since the time of Messiah and even prior to the time of this Messiah to deceive people and not accepting the Messiahship of Yeshua. Beelzebub, or referred to as Lord of the Flies, see Matthew 12:24. Just going over the scriptures, I just pulled out my New American Standard Bible. Okay, Matthew 12:24. But when the Pharisees heard this, again, this is the Pharisees accusing Yeshua, this man cast out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. So again, here the Pharisees recognize demonic, there were demonic presence in the world, but they were falsely accusing Yeshua of operating via those spirits, which was a lie. Again, that's not, that's the accuser of the brethren right there, operating in those that should have known better. Mark 3:22. Well, let's see. I'm sorry, I don't. Oh, I'm looking at 4. No wonder that didn't look good. Okay, 3:22. I was looking at the wrong scripture. I go, that doesn't match. Again, this is just reiterating the same thing. The scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebul and he cast out the demons by the rulers of the demons. Now here is Yeshua's answer. And he called them to himself and began speaking to them in parables. How can HaSatan cast out HaSatan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. If HaSatan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he is finished. But no one can enter the strong man's house and plunder his property unless he first binds a strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit or Ruach HaKodesh never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, because they were saying he has an unclean spirit. So here again, Yeshua bringing again the word back to them to bring, you know, conviction and repentance. And again, Luke 11:15, but some of them said he cast out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons. And again, Yeshua refutes that thinking. 2 Corinthians 6:15, Belial, let's begin with 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Messiah with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Again, also referred to as ha-satan, or the accuser, or the slanderer. Matthew 4:1. Then Yeshua was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by HaSatan. So again, he was doing a spiritual battle in the wilderness there, and took a stand against HaSatan with the word of God, because HaSatan was trying to, again, accuse him and to deceive him, which he couldn't be, he couldn't do. And we see that in the scriptures. Why? Because he's Yahweh in the flesh. He was a living word. He was without sin. He had the fullness of the Ruach. So he knew the ways of the enemy, because he knew him from his very beginning of existence. Revelation 20:2. We'll begin with verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is HaSatan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Again, he is referred to as the enemy. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer, until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Again, he operates through, again, evil spirits, his demons, who, again, HaSatan is not omnipresent. He has demons that do his work, that possess people as well. 1 Samuel, we see that in Saul. Let's see, 1 Samuel 16:14. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from Yahweh terrorized him. So again, Yahweh allowed this spirit to come upon Saul. Saul's servant said to him, "Behold, now an evil spirit from Yahweh is terrorizing you. But let our Lord now command your servants who are before you, let them seek a man who is a skillful player of the harp. And it shall come about when the evil spirit from Yahweh is on you, that he will play the harp with his hand, and you will be well." So again, Yahweh allowed this spirit to come upon Saul because of, again, his opening the door to the enemy. And because he did that, opened the door for a spirit to come upon him. He's also referred to the enemy as the father of all liars, Meshachar, Avikal Meshachar. Let's see, John 8:44. Again, we are to know our enemy. And the Father has revealed who he is. So he has, again, given us the knowledge we need. Yeshua, again, showed us how to deal with the enemy and revealed who he was. John 8:44.
let's go back up into context. let's see, we'll begin with, again, this is a confrontation once again with a certain group of Pharisees who are challenging Yeshua. we'll begin with verse 31. So Yeshua was saying to those Jews or Judeans, because this is the area they were from, who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Yeshua answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father." Again, small, Yeshua used capital, his father, the father, and referring to when he uses, "you've heard from your father," he's referring to HaSatan. "If you are Abraham's children, so the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father." They said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one father, Elohim." Yeshua said to them, "If Elohim were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from Elohim. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he had sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, HaSatan, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him." Again, he's the father of liars. "Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me." I'm just going to continue on here. "Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." Again, they were spiritually blind to who Yeshua was because they were looking after the flesh and listening to, again, the lies of the enemy regarding the messiahship of Yeshua. Again, that's how the HaSatan works, contradicting the word of God, contradicting the promises of God, the prophecies of God. He is referred to as the mighty one of this age. We see that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. I'll begin in verse 3. "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, to whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Messiah, who is the image of Elohim." He's also referred to as the ruler of this age, Sar Ha'olam, John 12:31. Let's see, John 12:31. Begin with verse 30. "Yeshua answered them, 'This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes.'" Well, let's go up to verse 27. "Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying an angel has spoken to him. Yeshua answered and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sake. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world or this age will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. And then John 14:30. I will not speak much more for you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. So here again, referring to Sar Haolam, the ruler of this world, who Yeshua has defeated. In John 16:11, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged, is referred to as the great red dragon, Tanin Gadol Kahimare, Revelation 12:3. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. So here Revelation refers to him as the great red dragon. He's referred to as a murderer, wrote Zakah, John 8:44. Again, we read that before. You are of your father, HaSatan, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Is referred to as the old serpent, Hanachash Hakadi Dimoni. Genesis 3:4. Again, his mode of operation hasn't changed from the very beginning. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. Again, here referred to as a serpent. And again, putting doubt, planting seeds of doubt in Hava's mind regarding the faithfulness and truthfulness of Yahweh's word. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Praise you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, that you have provided your word for us to keep us on the narrow path and to show us, Father, how to live and how to do spiritual warfare. But I am afraid that as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Messiah. Back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called HaSatan and or the devil and HaSatan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down on the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And then 20, verse 2, and he laid hold of the dragon. Again, we see it only took one angel to take hold of him. The serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, HaSatan, or the deceiver, and bound him for 1,000 years. He is referred to as the power of darkness, Mami Mashalet HaKoshek, Colossians 1:13. Praise your holy name, Father. Hallelujah. Baruch Hashem, Yahweh Elohim. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Then other translations refer to, again, the power of darkness, the domain of darkness. We have been delivered from that. He's referred to the rule as the ruler of the power of the air, Sarhal Har Ruchot, Ephesians 2:2. I'll begin with verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. He is also referred to as ruler of darkness, Shalite Eretz Ma Apaleia, Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Again, referred to as HaSatan, or the adversary, or the prosecutor. Let's look at Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh, and HaSatan also came among them. And Yahweh said to HaSatan, from where do you come? Then HaSatan answered Yahweh and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. Yahweh said to HaSatan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Then HaSatan answered Yahweh, does Job fear for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him in his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you in your face. So here we see him coming against, again, challenging Yahweh Elohim because of, Job walked in righteousness, and God allowed this test knowing that HaSatan would not be able to trip him up or turn him against God. John 13:27. Now let's go in context here. Again, this is speaking of Yeshua's betrayal. Verse 26. Then Yeshua then answered, that is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him. Again, the one who would betray him. So when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After the morsel, HaSatan then entered into him. Therefore, Yeshua said to him, what you do, do so quickly. So we hear the adversary entered in and influenced, again, Judas to turn against Yeshua and turn him in. But again, this was all the Father's plan. Hallelujah. And I believe that, again, when Yeshua was speaking to Judas, he was also speaking to, again, that spirit that entered him as well. Acts 5:3. Let's begin with verse 1. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price from himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back the price of the land? And then Acts 26:18, again, we see that, you know, they opened themselves up to the influence of HaSatan, and it actually cost them their lives. It put the fear of God in the people as well, again, lying against the Ruach HaKodesh. Let's see, let's begin with actually, this is Paul meeting Yeshua. And let's see, let's begin with verse 14. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in Hebrew dialect, Shaul, Shaul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Yeshua, whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose, I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles in whom I am sending you. And then this is the verse 18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of HaSatan to Elohim, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified. Again, he's also referred to as the tempter, HaManasseh. We see that Matthew 4:3, where Yeshua, where it says that, you know, the tempter came to tempt Yeshua, trying to tempt him to sin. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Again, all of 14 is him trying to tempt Mashiach. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. So again, these are all different ways the adversary will try to act in our lives. And we need to, again, know our enemy, know how he operates. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 3:5. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith for fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Again, the tempter, the enemy coming, trying to steal the word that Paul had planted in the lives of these believers. He's also referred to as the thief, Haganav, John 10:10, which this should be a very familiar verse. Again, Yeshua referring, showing how the enemy works. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. So here again, Yeshua is revealing how the enemy works. He comes only to steal the word from you, kill your faith, come against your health, destroy your ministry. Again, I did a teaching on that on my blog. He is, again, a liar. He is also referred to as the wicked one, Hara, Matthew 13:19-38. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. So again, Yeshua is giving an example in this parable how, again, the different ground that the word lands on and how, again, the enemy comes to steal that word. Verse 38, and in the field is, well, let's begin for 37. And he said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. And referring to Yeshua, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is HaSatan, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire in the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let them hear. And again, he is referred to as the devil or HaSatan. Revelation 20:10. And the devil or HaSatan who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Here are the Ten Commandments of inner spiritual warfare mentioned in James 4, 7 to 10. So let's go to James 4, 7 to 10 and read that first. Submit therefore to God, resist HaSatan, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of Yahweh, and he will exalt you. So number one, we are to submit therefore to Yahweh. Number two, resist HaSatan, and he will flee from us. Three, draw near to Yahweh, and he will draw near to us. How do we draw near to Yahweh? In worship, in studying of his word, in prayer. Cleanse our hands, you sinners. How do we cleanse our hands? Through repentance. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Again, repentance is turning back to Yahweh's ways. Be broken because of your sin. Again, these 4, 5, and 6 are referring to, and 7 and 8, again, this is all referring to repentance, turning back to God. Be broken. 5, purify your hearts, you double-minded. 6, be broken because of your sin. 7, mourn because of missing the mark. Again, sin is missing the mark of God's righteousness, of his teachings and instructions. 8, weep, cleansing your conscience in teshuva, returning to Yahweh. 9, let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. And 10, humble yourselves in the presence of Yahweh, and he will exalt you. Hallelujah. Elvina Mokena, our Father, our King. Father, we thank you. Again, this happens to be the season of Teshuvah, repentance, preparing our hearts for the high holy days, but every day needs to be a season of Teshuvah. Father, I thank you that every day we search our hearts, Father, every day that we repent of missing the mark, Father, that we do not fear HaSatan because Yeshua has already put him under his feet. The only way he can touch us is if we open the door to him and believe his lies and not Yahweh's word. Father, I thank you that you continue to renew, that we continue to renew our minds with the word that you have provided for us. Again, the weapons of our warfare you have provided are not carnal, but mighty through God, spiritual, Father, to the pulling down of strongholds. I thank you, Father, that as we intercede and pray for our loved ones, Father, that you give us the wisdom to know how to pray, that their hearts would be prepared, that the words that will be sown through labors you send across their path will be good ground, that will receive the word with joy, Father, that will receive the word with humility and repentance so that they can come into the kingdom through faith in Messiah Yeshua. In Yeshua's name, amen.